Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. On a day to feel good, the Sixers have themselves a young player that could play. VJ Edgecombe
young
last
Thundercat.
Night. Yeah, you know what? He is a Thundercat, and he's young, and he could play 34 points. The third most ever in the first game for any player's NBA career. What a night for him. The fact that Maxey had 40 and he's the second story tells you we got something here with this kid. I loved what I saw last night. It does change how I feel about the team. Where are you at? 215-592-9494 on a Thursday here. So we continue to react to the Sixers. Obviously, the Embiid part of it is there because it's very rare that he's on the court and not the story. You know, usually he's not on the court and not the story. Last night he was out there, and Hewitt felt like he wasn't even part of the game. He felt like he was playing a different game than everybody else. And I will continue to be excited about this team and be invested as long as they and he and all of them over there recognize this team belongs to those young guards now. It's Maxey's team. It's Edgecombe's team. And McCain will work his way back when he gets in here. As long as they play like that, Hugh, I think we have something here with this kid. That was eye-opening last night.
Yeah, and it's something to build off of, Joe. When you look at that, you look at the excitement that they play with, the energy that they play with.
Yep.
That's something that you can build around. And when you look at the NBA as a whole, it's starting to shift a little bit. The paradigm shift is there, going from the big three mentality mm-hmm. to more of a team concept.
I agree.
And that's kind of what it felt like last night.
Well, and also it's moved towards younger. I mean, again, it used to be you had to have 30-year-olds to win titles. Last year that was broken by the Thunder. We'll see where it goes, but a great night. Let's grab Chuck here. Then we got to get to something that Baldy said yesterday on the afternoon show that really caught my attention about the Eagles offense. Chuck in Mount Airy talking to VJ Edgecombe and the Sixers. Good morning, Chuck.
Joe Giglio, what's the dealio, Hugh?
What's up,
Good
Joe?
Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, Hugh, man. You got a career to keep, brother. That's all I got to say, man. Ride past them idiots, man, and pray for them, man. You know what I mean? You got a career to keep, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a high-profile dude. You know what I mean? So you understand that, you know, what you do won't be maximized. So I'm just keep riding, brother, down in Delaware. Yeah. You got a nice, beautiful home you got.
I apologize.
I know you did. We tried.
I know.
We tried.
Barely.
I know.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Listen, I just want to say, you know, Joe, you are, continue to say this, you are a breath of fresh air. You know what I mean? Because I love listening to you because you think in the same way I'm thinking. You know what I mean? You know, when I watched that game yesterday, I wasn't watching to see if Joel Embiid was going to fail. You know what I mean? That's not what I was watching. I really was honestly watching to see the young guys play. But when I watched the game yesterday, the body language, you know, and just the mopiness and not wanting to rebound and not you know, controlling the paint, you know, and protecting the rim, the things that centers are supposed to do, I just don't want that around these guys, man. I don't. I think it's just hazardous. I don't think it's becoming of the new Sixers, you know, because that's what I call them, the new Sixers. And I just think that they you know, these guys can just grow together. You know what I mean? To me, I just think Joel is in the way of that. You know, when he sat down, I believe it was in the third quarter, that's when they begin to make their run. And he didn't play the whole fourth quarter. And I just want to say, give a shout out to Nick Nurse. You know, you could tell he's just over this whole Joel Embiid thing. You know, if you're not going to give me maximum effort on the court, I don't care what your name is. I don't care how much you're getting paid. I'm not going to play you. And I don't want to. I don't want people to think, oh, this is a ramp up, or, you know, this is Joel classic, him, you know, just, you know, starting off slow. No, his ass got benched yesterday in the fourth quarter. And that's what that was. It was a changing of the guards, literally and figuratively. You know, these guys, Maxey and Edgecombe, are the real deals, and we can build a contender with these guys being the centerfold of this team. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, and Chuck, the quicker they Nurse, and I think you're on it, he's recognizing it already, and the quicker Morey recognizes it, the quicker we get to become a real contender. Like I don't know how this is going to go with the George and Embiid contracts, because they're bad contracts, but the quicker we can get the right assets and the right players around these guards, the quicker we're going to be talking about playing in May and June, which we haven't done around here in forever.
That's what I'm saying, because the thing about it with VJ, and I'm going to let you go, he doesn't play like a rookie. And you know, when, like I said, you know when you see a guy on the court, he pops off the screen with you. With Allen Iverson, he popped off the screen with us. We knew we had something special. This guy doesn't play like a rookie. You can win with this guy now. You know what I mean? You got to, you know, like I said, if you get the right pieces around, like you said, the sky's the limit, man. So I'm just excited to see a new chapter of Sixers basketball coming. I feel like we got our franchise back. And, you know, I just hope these guys realize that, and Nick Nurse sticks to his guns. And if the guy's not playing well, don't play him. You know what I mean? That's just the bottom line. You know what I mean? He's not worth, you know, just sabotaging this season for. You got good guys that you can build off of. Let's just build.
Let's do it, Chuck, man. Great. Listen, great phone call, and let's go. That was an awesome night last night. 215-592-9494. All right, before we and we'll continue with everyone's phone calls on the Sixers, a day to celebrate after one of the great debuts in Philadelphia sports history last night with VJ Edgecombe, 34 points. But, you know, I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, and Brian Baldinger was on for his weekly spot, and something he said caught my attention.
What would that be, Joe?
Well, listen to this. And it was really not just what he said, but how he said it. Here's Baldy yesterday on the Eagles' offense, what we saw Sunday with them going under center with a lot of success. And are we going to expect to see that again? Here's Baldy.
You know, they've been trying to get Jalen to, you know, go under center and get out of shotgun and do what a lot of these other offenses are doing, a play action pass. And, you know, the throw to Devontae, it was a max protection, speedo route. You know, and he just ran right by the corner, but he had a 7-step drop. You know, so play action passes under center was a big deal. I mean, Petula was telling me about it before the game, and Saquon was, you know, 7-8 yards deep, and, you know, they thought it would really open up the offense, and it did. And I think you'll see a lot more of it, but that was the real catalyst for it. And they had really, you know, they had talked about it, that it's in the offense, but it wasn't something that Jalen is the most comfortable doing, turning his back to the defense. He likes kind of seeing the whole thing, but it really works, and I think you'll see more of it, you know, as we go forward.
You know, so what he said there is what we all saw, right? They were under center more. It worked, and they hadn't done it before, right? That we didn't need Baldy to tell us that. We have all been watching that for years. What caught my attention was they've been trying to get Jalen to do it as if they wanted to, and he didn't want to. I mean, that was what I kind of heard there, that he wasn't comfortable doing it. And, Hugh, a couple thoughts I have on that. One, he better get comfortable doing it if it's good and it works, because that's what the offense needs and it's what will make this team better. And the second thing I took from that is I expect them to keep doing it. I don't really, frankly, care if it's what Jalen Hurts loves to do. If it is effective, that's what he should want to do, and that's the plays they should call. Hugh, what did you make of Baldy, and do you expect the Eagles to be under center more this week, to continue doing what they started against the Vikings? I do. And I think it'd be foolish not to.
Answer your second question first. No, I don't expect him to be.
Excuse me?
No, I don't. I don't expect that to be the case. I think that was done under necessity. When Cam Jurgens went out, I think the offense changed. Now, I think there's a hope that that's the case. But Baldy also said something in that cut that really jumped out to me. Jalen doesn't like to turn his back to the defense. Mm-hmm. And when I think of that, I think of him making it easier for him to read and decipher what's going on. Because think about it like this, Joe. You turn your back to the defense, and then you have to surveil the whole field in a split second. You know, folks, when a quarterback's back, he has to process a lot of information very, very quickly. And it sounds to me like Jalen doesn't like to do that.
So you're right. The way you framed it is correct. But from my understanding, and what it seems like with, let's use Jared Goff, let's use the Niners quarterbacks, whoever it is over the years, the idea is if you do it, it will be very defined for you once you turn around. Like someone, if it works, right? Like it worked on Sunday.
Yeah.
It will be there. Like we will get someone open because of the play action look and fake. So while maybe he doesn't love to not see everything, if it works and he turns around, it should be there for him.
Yeah, but a lot of times
that's why teams do it, right?
Yeah, but it's how fast you process the information. Like that's what we're talking about here. It's almost like, for example, like I play Helldivers, right? And I know you guys don't play video games, but anybody that does.
1109 Helldiver reference. I like this.
In order to call down certain stratagems, you have to remember, like back in the day, you go up, down, left, right, BA, BA.
Sure.
To play certain games or whatever. That was a cheat code.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing in Helldivers. And if the aliens are attacking you and you don't put that code in fast enough, you're probably not going to make it.
Are the aliens the defense?
Well, yeah, the aliens are the defense or the insects, if you will. It all depends on who you fight. You might be fighting the automatons or you might be fighting the squids. You know, it all depends.
What are the giants? They're kind of like squids.
Yeah, the squid. We'll make the giants the squids. Okay. But the point is that if you don't put that code in fast enough, then you're probably going to get murked. And that's probably how Jalen feels because when you turn around, you have to see where everybody's going or surveil where you think the holes in the defense are.
Well, that's the downside. But the upside is it works.
Yeah, it does. Right?
Like, I mean, there's a reason why Shanahan and McVay and Ben Johnson and all these guys that everyone deems offensive geniuses use play action all the time. So, look, Hugh, I know it was said there, and it was also said in a different way last week. Listen to this. So, you heard Brian Baldinger, and he laid it out, you know, kind of his way. And he was, I believe Baldy, and I think he was referencing, I think Baldy was at the game Sunday doing the game for Westwood One, so maybe that's what he was referencing, talking about Tulo before the game. Here is Chris Sims a week ago, and this, if you listen to it, sounds a lot like what Baldy said, just in a, I guess, a little more firm way. Here is Sims talking about the offense and what he's heard about it over the years.
I think they realize they can't change anything because their quarterback's just not going to stand for it. As you've heard me say many a times, I watched Nick Sirianni as an offensive coordinator with the Colts. His offense had a million answers. It was awesome. That's why he got the head coaching job with the Eagles. It was like a Shane Steichen-type offense. It was, whoa, everything you do, they got an answer. That's not the case anymore. I don't think Nick Sirianni got dumber and forgot how to coach offense. I think, and I've heard this and I know this from people down there that have been there, that are still there, whatever. They're not allowed to change a whole lot on the offensive side of the ball. The quarterback will not stand for it. And because of that, that's why I think you see all these tippy-toe comments from everybody in Philadelphia. Because the truth of the matter is, they can't say it. So they have to give you these bullcrap jargon type of things to say, like you said, words, because they're a little stuck in what they can do right now.
All right, so it sounded very much like Baldy. Now, the difference is this past week.
He cleaned that up a little bit. He muddied that up. Baldy cleaned it up, though.
And obviously, Jalen was okay with the play action. I mean, it worked. They did it. So we've already broke that seal. I expect more of it. 215-592-9494. Kyle, we must get calls every week where someone says either I formation or go under center. Right? Like
I formation. That I was Will, right?
That's Will. Yeah. But we get a lot of that. They should go under center more. They did it on Sunday. Yep. It worked. He was 4-for-4 for 121 yards and the touchdown to Devontae. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do it again.
Well, I do. I mean, are we not connecting the same dots here with what everybody's saying? They're trying to get Hurts under center,
And but like they did, you know, and it worked.
The quarterback doesn't want to change the offense. Yeah, okay. But didn't we just go through this? It was after the Rams game, and it was like, oh, dude, you know, we expect that the rest of the season. Yeah. Didn't happen, right? And it seems to me like they just went under center totally out of necessity. Cam Jurgens is hurt. Like, if Cam's hurt again, then maybe we'll see them do it.
And he did miss practice yesterday.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. It feels pretty obvious to me that Hurts doesn't like to do it. So, like,
I don't care.
I don't either. But you if you're asking me if I expect to see it more, I can't. If the quarterback is against doing it, then no.
So I hear that. And I get where everyone's you're both coming from on that and what we heard from Baldy and Chris Sims. But now there's actual evidence on tape from the last game they won. It worked. So, like, this week when they're putting the game plan in, how is he going to push, if he does push back, which sounds like he doesn't, how is he going to push back on these plays?
Well, here's what I can't get around. There's no way you can convince me the coaching staff just discovered magically this week, by accident,
that play action
that
works.
Going under center and play action works.
I know. I agree.
So, okay. So, like...
But now they have evidence to show him, we should do this.
Right. No, I agree. But that, like, look, they have to scheme around the players that they have. Like, they just do.
Or the player has to acquiesce to what works.
He does, but didn't... was it last season where Jalen Hurts was saying, you might not like the way it looks, but this is how I this is how I like it to look stuff like that. And
it'll look how I want it to look.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's the one that has this offense and the scheme by the cojones.
That's true.
I'll say this about that. If that ever comes out and it's true, that's a bad look for Jalen. Because when we there's a sample size, especially this year, of the evolution and growth of quarterbacks that are his peers. And the thing that it would be an indictment on is him not willing to evolve and grow as a quarterback. And to be honest, if you look at it, folks, the fact that, the bottom line in NFL is winning. And that's a fact. Like, you can't, that's it. That the bottom line is winning, and Jalen's doing that. But in order to have that sustainability, you have to evolve. So, I say all that to say this, that if that's the case and if he's not doing that, it'll come out sooner than later. It's gonna start to come out because if these stories are true, then that's not a good look for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Chris Sims is relaying what he heard. But Baldy's on our air. That's WIP, him talking yesterday in the afternoon show about the Eagles trying to get Jalen Hurts to go under center. So what my reaction is, what do you mean trying? You call the play. Like, if he's pushing back on these things... Okay, maybe he, and I understand, Hugh, quarterbacks have to do stuff they're comfortable with. They go over the plays with them. They kind of run the stuff the quarterback likes the best. I'm just saying there's now legitimate evidence from the past game this stuff works. So I expect it. 215-592-9494. We'll throw that in the mix along with the Sixers and Edgecombe's debut last night. Do you expect more under center offense from the Eagles? I mean, they've been primarily a shotgun team for years now, and it's had its ups and downs, a lot of good, but some not great the last year plus. I expect them to go under center. It worked, and I think they'd be foolish, and Jalen would be foolish if he did push back on it. Let's go for it. Let's do it again. Rob in Delco is up on WIP. Hey, Rob.
How are you doing?
What's up, Rob?
Ben, listen, apologize to Josh Harrison, Dallin Morey now for stumbling upon VJ Edgecombe.
We could have an apology to Morey show soon. That is possible, Rob. If Edgecombe is a star, we might have to do it.
Let me tell you something. I kind of got laughed at when I was saying, and listen, it's one game, trust me, so keep this all in perspective, boys. They're going to win a championship before the Phillies. I'm telling you, the Sixers are going to win the championship before. I know, Hugh. I hear that.
Oh, no, I was reflecting on what you were saying. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just like, interesting.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of me.
Not at all. Wouldn't do that.
Listen, I don't even talk about the Flyers, you know. Forget that. These guys,
we got to get Michkov in shape. I mean, we got to do that first.
Is he not in shape? I don't even know. I mean, Joe, could you name five Flyers? Could you really name five of them?
With Kyle's help, I could name five. I like Tippin. He's my new guy. I like Tippin a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when I watch sports on TV, Comcast Sports, I'll see highlights. That's the only reason I know.
Come on now. Listen, all right, go ahead, Rob. What do you think on the Flyers?
I'm serious. No.
The Sixers.
I'm on the Sixers here. Get out of here. No way. Do you realize DJ scored more points than Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, and Dylan Harper combined last night?
I did. Well, I did see that Ace Bailey had, 2 points last night in his first game?
Yeah, I think Flagg had 10. Yeah. I'm not sure what Harper had.
I'll check out Harper. The great Ace Bailey debate is the Sixers are winning that one right now for sure.
Yeah, but I just thought that was pretty neat, pretty interesting. But you know what? Here, you know sometimes you see something and triggers like a twitch. You start twitching because you start going nuts. When I saw Embiid get the ball at the top of the three-point line and then on the side, and they did that pick and roll with him, Joe, and then he gets the ball and he dribbles, and everybody's just standing. I'm like, oh, my gracious. I start getting that twist. Here we go again. It's going to be that boring, pathetic Like how they talk about the Eagles being predictable in offense.
Right.
Yeah, that predictable Sixers offense. Here we go again. And you know what? I want them to play 65 games. Not because it'll help us. Because we can trade his ass. But I want to see this up and down, the ball moving. And listen, I know it's one game with Edgecombe, but I like these young guys. If we can get that monstrosity off of our back, literally, size and contract-wise, off of our back, just to see the new style of offense. You know what I mean?
Well, it'll open. You know what it'll do? And it'll open up. What Daryl Morey needs to do now is needs to think about how they maximize what they have with Edgecombe and Maxey and McCain. Right. And so whatever that is, as long as MB gets out of the way, Rob, I'm good with it. And George as well. I mean, George is out of sight, out of mind. We appreciate the phone call. I can name five flyers. I think that was uncalled for by Rob. Let me see if I can do it right now.
Okay.
So I said Owen Tippett, right? Mm-hmm. That's my new guy.
Good job.
Trevor Zegras.
Yes.
Okay. Michkov.
Yeah.
That's obvious. Uh-huh. Couturier still around?
Yeah.
And I was listening to Bros last week, mm-hmm. and they were talking about Bobby Brink.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I'm basically a hockey guy.
Travis Konechny, you know.
Yes, I know. He's been around. So, yeah, I mean, I can name my flyers.
Good job, man.
Thank you. Becoming a hockey guy. Now, Hugh, can you name the rest of the roster?
I can name as I look at my computer.
No, hold on. You had to write
I'm
the
Mr. Black Hockey.
See, I wrote down the names there. Zegras, Michkov.
I'm not giving you your music now.
I think you've been replaced. I am the number two hockey guy on the show now.
I'm being punished. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I could have cheated.
Bobby Brink?
I could have cheated and just said, you know, I could have just said I wasn't looking at my screen.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
But you're like, honest.
No, yep. Nicholas de la Sarlalarf.
I'm glad I left you that one. We're all glad I left you that one.
Yep, you're very close. Nick Delorier.
Yeah. Delorisaurus?
Yeah, yeah, Delorisaurus.
Rodrigo Abbas.
Abbas. I'm thinking about Evan Joe. Give us one Flyers take a week.
Well, I mean, I'm already on the Michkov's chunky thing.
Yeah,
we got to clean that
good.
Up.
It's not good.
Is that gotten any better, or has he gotten chunkier? What's going on there?
I mean,
he's chunky.
Yeah, he's out of shape.
He's a little out of shape, yeah.
Now, was that really an ankle injury, or are they saying that? Because that was what I heard,
I think,
right?
He rolled his ankle, they say.
And then he came in chunky?
Can't come in chunky.
No, I mean, like...
That's at B-desk.
I thought the same thing. And that's...
You said you can't come
That's not what you want. Joe and Mayfair is up. What's up, Joe? Joe going once. Joe back on hold. Oh. All right, let's grab Roman, who's up on WIP. He's proud of Nick Nurse last night. What's up, Roman?
What's up, my guys?
What's up, man?
Roman, what's up, pal?
Hey, first of all, cut my man Hugh some slack, because, you know, I'm part of that African-American community also. We love the Flyers, but we ain't getting excited about them until they do something.
I got you, Roman. I got you.
So, hey, as far as the Sixers, man, and you guys threw me off a little bit, because when you were playing that Chris Sims, I almost switched and wanted to go back to the Eagles, but the Sixers deserve this today.
They do deserve our praise today. Yeah, we got our thoughts on the Eagles, but go ahead, go on the Sixers, go for it.
This is what stood out to me last night. There was three people last night that made statements. Number one, Maxey, he made the statement. Listen, this is my team, and at any given time, I want to take over. I can. Edgecombe, I'm not scared, y'all. I'm not scared, and I'm going to be a problem. I'm going to be a problem. But the most important statement was Nick Nurse having the guts in that fourth quarter to say, Joe, you can't help us. In fact, you've been hurting us. So I'm going to pull you, and I'm going to let you see what these young guys want to do. That up and down the court basketball is made for the Sixers. And as much as I got questions about Morey, I have to tell you, he put together a team this year that can run with the best of them this year. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like when George gets back. I don't even know what's going to happen with Embiid. But I can tell you this, that backcourt is special, and they're dangerous. And, you know, 70 points between Edgecombe and Maxey, we ain't even talking about the contribution that Kelly Oubre made last night, Dominic Barlow made last night, the other gentleman that came off the bench, Jabari Parker is his name, I guess?
Jabari Walker.
Yes, I'm
Walker.
Sorry.
Now you got it. Jabari Parker was in the draft with Embiid all those years ago. That name came to my mind. But no, it was Walker. Yep.
Walker coming off the bench doing the dirty work put me in the mind of Reggie Evans. And they got another guy that hasn't even played Trendon. These guys are going to be dogs, and they're going to be around in this wide open Eastern Conference. Now, I don't want to write Embiid off yet, but I hope Nick has a talk with him, because there's a talk that needs to happen with him. bro, we cannot let you slow us down. They had three possessions defensively where he was the sole reason why they were getting destroyed. And Mackey gave Coach a look like, yo, get him out of here. And we didn't see him after that.
Yeah, and you know what? And Roman, they were playing a different speed when he was on the court. It was great. Roman, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I'm over it. I think we all got to be over the Embiid era. He's here, but he's not. Last night was the transition moment for the franchise. This franchise belongs to Maxie and Edgecombe, and when he gets back, McCain. 215-592-9494. Did last night change how you feel about the Sixers? It did for me. And do you expect the Eagles to go more under center this week? It worked last week, 4-4, 121 yards and a touchdown for Hurts. Hugh doesn't expect it, thinks it was more a necessity. I expect them to be more under center this week. They should be. It'd be crazy if they're not. All right, on the other side, your phone calls. And we got to get into the major NBA scandal that broke this morning. Arrest, mafia, what the hell is going on? That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
If you're tossing and turning your tired old mattress, it's time to call in an audible, people. Now you can save up to 60% store-wide at the Mattress Warehouse and score your choice of a free box spring or an adjustable base with select mattress purchases. Want to upgrade your sleep without blowing the cap? Mattress Warehouse is clearing out the floor. All these deals are designed to save you some serious cash. Hit the floor model clearance event and save big while supplies last. But you got to hurry up because this deal is over soon. 0% interest financing, the signature Mattress Warehouse, 1 year lowest price guarantee, and people, 100% comfort guarantee. You'll sleep like a champ. Do what I did and upgrade with total confidence at the Mattress Warehouse. Find the store nearest you at themattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Ross Tucker's going to join the show 1 hour from now. His thoughts on the Eagles. We head towards week 8. Eagles-Giants on Sunday at the Link. And, of course, will Jalen Hurts go back under center a lot this week?
No!
Well, he should. If I see 60 shotgun snaps on Sunday, look, if they win, we'll move on. But if they don't, or it's choppy on offense, I mean, it just seems so clear that it works, right? Like, it worked on Sunday, and you look around the league, and all these other teams are doing it, and we don't do it very often. It worked on Sunday. Do you expect the Eagles to be under center more? All your phone calls coming up on that. And, of course, Vijay Edgecombe and the Sixers, the excitement from last night. Did last night change the way you feel about the team? It did for me. I mean, this kid does not look like a 20-year-old. He looked like a 6-year pro out there. 34 points. He played with poise. He's clearly a big-time athlete. I mean, I got vibes of Ann Edwards and young Russell Westbrook watching him jump up and down out there. Great night for the Sixers. Hugh, not a great morning for the NBA, though. What is going on in the National Basketball Association? So the news started trickling out as we were coming in this morning.
bad boys.
What you gonna do? Let's roll through some of this, and then we'll hear from Shams on ESPN talking about it. So Terry Rozier, former Celtic, former, I think, Hornet, the Miami Heat guard. He's been around the league for a while. He has been arrested for and accused of leaking insider information to betting rings and faking a foot injury during a 2023 game to trigger winning prop bets. Okay, so prosecutors linked him to over $13,000 in suspicious wagers. And if that was all, it'd be a bad day for the NBA. That's not, though. Two coaches are now under some scrutiny, including Chauncey Billups, like the same Chauncey Billups that at one point was one of the better point guards in the NBA, borderline Hall of Famer, now the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, arrested this morning, Hugh, wait for it, charged in connection with a high-stakes poker game in Manhattan, Miami, and Las Vegas that were allegedly rigged with hidden cameras and mafia funding.
Mafia funding. Yeah, I was reading a little bit of this story, Joe. Yeah. They were fleecing. They were caught, what they call them, fish?
They call them, they're fishing.
They were lured into these games.
Using Chauncey as like the face of it,
well,
right?
Yeah, like with high stakes
come
games.
Come play with Chauncey Billups.
With the NBA players or whatever, man. And then they had, the thing that got me, they had like x-ray tables. Like they fleeced these
it's
people
like movie
for millions
stuff.
Of dollars. Yeah. And it's just funny because I don't know if this is tied to it. I don't know. So I just want to put that out there first because I don't want to get in trouble for recklessly speculating. Mm-hmm. But it kind of puts the Gilbert Arenas stuff?
Way back in the day, yeah.
when he said
brought the gun into the locker room.
when he talked about, he telling on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
When he got knocked a few months ago for the Encino games mm-hmm. in California. And he was talking about he's telling on everybody. It kind of puts stuff like that in perspective.
I just want to read this paragraph. This is from Shams. We're going to hear from Shams in a second. And David Purdom, who covers sports betting for ESPN. This is a paragraph on ESPN.com right now. Billups and Rozier were among a total of 34 people arrested. The arrests were the result of years-long investigation.
Years!
Covering 11 states. 11 states! And involving tens of millions of dollars. FBI director, when the FBI is involved, you know it's a big deal. Yeah. Cash Patel said, Patel and other law enforcement officials said the multiple charges involve four mafia families and organized crime networks and, quote, mind-boggling amounts of fraud. When you have 11 states, mind-boggling fraud, and the mafia, is Adam Silver going to issue a statement? What is going on in this league?
Just to be clear, they ain't talking about 3-6 mafia. They talking about the mafia.
No, the real one. All right, let's hear from Shams here on ESPN describing what the heck is going on right now.
Greeny, Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier have both been arrested this morning. Billups at around 6 a.m. in Portland, Oregon, and Rozier around 6 a.m., I'm told, in Orlando, where the Heat were playing last night. Rozier's been arrested for his involvement in alleged sports gambling, prop bets, and Billups, ABC News is reporting, is tied to an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia. And so, the FBI has been investigating this situation for several months, and in Rozier's case, at least 2 years, and today is making arrests. There is a press conference that is set by the FBI. The Eastern District of New York has been leading this investigation. I'm told FBI Director Kash Patel has also been increasingly involved in recent weeks. He will be leading the press conference today as well. But this is really seismic news in the NBA for a sitting NBA head coach and Chauncey Billups to be arrested, taken into custody for alleged illegal gambling, as well as Terry Rozier for sports betting, allegedly. Two arrests made this morning. There are expected to be numerous arrests also tied to both of these situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I just thought about something. So you get arrested, right? You're probably going to bond out, which you're going to probably pay, you know, to get out.
And you would think they can afford, I mean, these are guys that can, they can afford that.
So when you bond out, right, and you go to work.
I don't think you're going back to work.
Well, they can't
let Chauncey Billups coach the Blazers tonight.
That's what I'm asking.
No.
Do you let him go back to work?
No. He's on leave.
No, it's, Joe, to be fair. No. Now, this is how HR works. We have an HR moment right now. Well, I'm a little bit familiar with HR.
Okay.
A little bit familiar with HR.
I will let you take the lead on the HR conversation.
Allegedly, this is alleged.
Yeah.
So there's no evidence.
Well, I mean, there's some, obviously.
There's some reckless, but there's tapes, whatever.
Yeah.
But you still have to have your day in court.
Sure. Due process.
Yes. So technically, you get to go back to work.
No shot. There's no way if I'm running the.
Hold on.
You think if Adam Silver lets Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier back into the league before. He has no spine. Man's spineless if he lets him on the sidelines.
Wait a minute. Who they play tonight?
So they played last. So how about this? Billups was arrested at his hotel in Orlando. He woke up this morning after he coached the.
That's what I'm saying.
They coach. They're about to play a game.
He's arrested in Miami. He about to bond out. He probably gonna get bond. He'll probably be out about 3 o'clock. Don't ask me how I know about all that, but I do. He'll probably get out about 3 o'clock. So he probably get to go back to work.
Yeah. There is the next game for the Blazers is Friday night against Golden State. There is no shot that Chauncey Billups is allowed to coach that game. There's none.
I don't know, Joe. I feel like he's going to
come. No, I mean, but I know you mentioned
HR. I know
HR,
it's a distraction.
But this is a little bit different than your typical
HR
thing.
Okay,
this is
okay,
the
mafia gonna
is involved.
He's probably going to step down because he doesn't want to be a distraction.
I think that's probably best for everybody.
That's probably going to be best. But if I'm him, I just power through all of this.
Yeah, I do now. I am starting to wonder how much bigger this is and how much.
It's some cats in the NBA that's playing right now that have bungholitis.
Oh, they're sweating. Of course. I mean, if because Terry Rozier is a small time player compared to the other guys.
Because you know some other NBA cats like to bet, and they like to bet high stakes.
Mm-mm-mm.
Who do you think else? Well, we can't reckless expect that, but it's a bad thing to do. But I would venture to think that there's some other cats that are in this that are probably still playing in the NBA.
So there's two parts. I agree with you. There's two parts. One is the poker game thing. That feels like its own thing. And that's just an illegal thing. And Chauncey Billups, I don't know what he's doing. I have no idea with the mafia. The Terry Rozier thing, this is the Pandora's box of legal sports gambling, right? Because from what it seems like, it's Rozier was throwing moments in games to help people to bet the under on his props, right? Or the same Jonte Porter, right? Where that name came up a year ago.
Yeah.
This stuff is not going away. The crazy part is that they think they could get away with this. There's more eyes on the gambling stuff than there ever has been because it's legal now, right? So there's a million sports books and we talk about them and we have fun with it, but like they're monitoring this stuff. So if weird activity, like Hugh Douglas's $2 parlay is not sending off any bat signals over at the sports books.
No, it's not.
But if there's thousands of bets on Terry Rozier's under points on a night, like they're going to look into that. Like, why is that happening? I can't believe these guys think they could get away with this.
Yeah. And why are you doing it? Because you're talking about guys that have money. It's not like you don't have money. You know, you talk about Chauncey Billups and the career that he's had in the NBA. He got bread, and he's coaching.
Yeah.
Why are you taking these penitentiary chances like that? I don't understand that.
I have no idea. What a black guy for the NBA the first night after they opened this thing up.
No, you know what's worse? Because didn't you say that Terry Rozier was being investigated?
Yeah.
And then they cleared him?
So the NBA did – Shams did report, I think in May or June of this past spring, that they did their own investigation, and they obviously thought he was all right. The FBI came in and said – no, that is not what is going on here. So this is a bigger deal than that. I think there's more to this, and more names are going to come out. Adam Silver has not made a statement yet, which just shows how
What are they going to say?
Well, I don't know, but I mean,
my bad, dog.
No, he's spineless.
Hold on. The other part of this is they cleared Rozier.
That's what I'm saying. That's
their investigation. Yeah, they had no
idea. That's what I'm saying. You will come out and say, my bad. We screwed up. We didn't.
You can't. My bad. When the mafia is involved.
Yeah, you can.
No.
But, hey, you know what? That That's on me.
That's on me.
That's on me.
Yep.
Because it feels like there's a lot of names in this. Well, it feels like this is just, what they say, the tip of the iceberg?
Yeah.
It feels like there's a lot of names in this.
There's no way Chauncey Billups is coaching again.
I'm not laughing because this is a very serious matter. Yeah. But can you imagine the folks that have been a part of these games that probably went and just went and been associated with this that are probably under scrutiny now?
Of course. They're going to get all their names.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever see Chauncey Billups anywhere near a basketball arena again. I mean, he's just not going to be any. He's got bigger fish to fry than if he's allowed to coach Friday night.
I think he'll be coaching by next week.
215. Hugh, this isn't a typical HR thing.
I think he's going to be out there.
There's no shot.
Because of the legend. He's going to have a press conference.
He's an HR expert.
I know, but this is different.
Been HR
this
a few
is
times,
no,
man.
Hugh. This is different HR.
Kyle, I've been HR.
Was the mafia involved in any of your previous HR issues?
I don't think so.
No, they weren't.
I don't think there was any mafia involvement with my HR business.
Yeah, this is different. 215-592-9494. This is a takedown of some NBA people. I'm sure there's more too. We get more information today. We'll pass that along as well. Let's go back to the phone lines here on all things we're discussing. The Sixers, VJ Edgecombe. I feel differently today than I did. I was excited yesterday for the season, but watching that kid go out there and drop 34 points in Boston in his first game in the NBA, there is a different level of feeling I have this morning. This kid could play. It jumps off the screen as athleticism. And as long as they let this thing run through these young guards, we got a season to watch. You're feeling on the Sixers this morning and the Eagles. Do you expect Jalen Hurts to be under center more this week? I do. Hugh Douglas does not for some crazy reason.
I don't think so.
Yeah. We're gonna go back to what wasn't working and go away from what was.
We're going to go what makes the quarterback comfortable. Because I think the key word you're missing here, Joe, is comfortable.
Why wouldn't he be comfortable with 4-for-4 for 121 yards and a touchdown?
To be honest, Joe, and this is where one of the callers said it, and it rings true.
Yeah.
Never played quarterback before. So I don't know why he would not be uncomfortable.
Hold on. Not you claiming ignorance about football.
No, but Kyle, because I look at it like this. I feel like every year is his own thing, right? So you have to be different than you were the year before. And you have to try to bring something new, a new wrinkle because of
the best players do that.
Yes, yes. And for Jalen, because let's look at the history. I like Jalen. Let me say that first because I don't want anybody coming after me and talking about I'm hating on Jalen. But let's just look
at Jalen Hurts hater, Hugh Douglas has arrived.
Okay, let's be a grown-up for like 2 seconds and just look at the history since he's been here.
Okay, go for it.
He struggled out of the gate almost every year. Now, he's won a lot of games. But when you talk about last year at the beginning of the season, there was some struggles in the passing game. And he got it together as the season progressed, and he looked better towards the stretch.
Sure.
Coming into this year, we're still talking about some of the struggles. And to his credit, he's starting to look like he's coming out of that.
Last few games have been better.
And then let's look at the flip side of all the other quarterbacks who started the season. Now, if you'll be lying to yourself if you say that during the beginning of the season, we were the first game, and you watched the games those Sundays, and you didn't have any envy when you talk about the way the quarterbacks were throwing the ball all over the schoolyard. That's a fact because we talked about it. We might not have said it out loud, but you looked at it and you thought to yourself, damn, with all the talent that we have, why don't we look like that?
Of course.
So now, given that and given this new information, if you're being smart and you're thinking outside the box and you're not being a sheep, you're looking at that and you're like, there might be something to that. I mean, and that's not saying that Jalen's bad or anything like that, but you have to look at the evidence that's presented to you.
I get it. And look, I understand how we always hear these stories, right? The coordinator, the coach, they go over the plays with the quarterback, right? These are the ones I'm most comfortable with. I recognize that every team should cater to the plays the quarterback is most comfortable with because he's got to execute them. I just feel like the coaching staff has a new leg to stand on this week in meetings and at practice. Jalen, this worked. This was our best offense on Sunday. Like, we have to incorporate this. We have to. If they don't, it's first of all, forget what Jalen wants. It's malpractice on the coaches to not put it in.
But hold on. We're acting like this is the first time Jalen Hurts has ever been under center.
No, but they did it more on Sunday than they have in a while.
Well, sure, but Kevin Petula was the pass game coordinator last season.
Yes.
They went under center last season a good bit. A lot more than they had it at all at any point this season. And by the way, passing game still struggled last year.
So it did. So here, the number is they had 20 offensive plays under center on Sunday. It was the most this season and the most since week 9 last year. It's been a while. I mean, like, again, it worked. I expect more of it. We talked all year about it. The offense didn't look right, didn't look right. The best it looked, the passing game, was when they were under center more than they have been. I just, if we come here on Monday and forget win or loss, they could beat the Giants, I think, this week, even if they don't do this much. But if the offense doesn't look great this week or the passing game doesn't and they don't go under center all but one or two times, are we going to be happy about it on Monday? No. Because we have eyes, and we realize this is something they should incorporate into the offense. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to all this. Joe in Mayfair up on WIP. You right over there? What's up,
yeah,
Joe?
Yeah, no, I'm just laughing.
Well, we got to play a little Beverly Hills Cop shakedown, takedown. We come
You're
back from
busted.
The break.
That is what's happening today.
Listen, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and the Scarecrow looked like all three last night playing in the Sixers uniform, but it wasn't the focus point for the first time in a long time with the backcourt of what we had in Maxey and Edgecombe, who looks a lot like Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade. If they had a kid, it'd be him, because he's got a combination of both, and that kid's just going to fill out and get better. The first step he's got, the length that he has, once he learns the game even more, it's going to be absolutely dangerous, the physical tools that he has. It was incredible to watch, and you know, Embiid just clogs everything up. He's slow. He doesn't have the first step. I don't care if he's in shape. His first step is gone. You can't get it back once you lose it. And I love watching the team without him on the court. It creates more space. They can move a lot with the ball. They know the ball's not just going to get thrown to him where you're just standing around doing nothing. Everybody had life last night in the fourth quarter, like they're all part of the team. And that's why I think they won. They all got involved. And Barlow can play, this kid, the power forward. He's got a lot of hops, can rebound, can move with the basketball, can set some picks. I'm excited for this team without the Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man. Yeah, I really am.
Joe, it looked like
they're coming.
Yeah, well,
they're not going anywhere.
They're still here under contract. But it looked like two different teams last night. Like when Embiid had the ball in his hand early, it was the old Sixers, and it was a new, young, fast, athletic team that we haven't seen around here in, I don't know, 7 or 8 years since Embiid was young and they first put Simmons on the court and they tried all that. Like, they haven't had this much energy and athleticism in a long time.
Hey, if you want to use Embiid with the second unit for 20 minutes a night, when the other team is like in the penalty and the bonus to get to the foul line and slow the game down a little bit with the bench, I don't want to see him out there for 30, 35 minutes. Again, his first step is gone. His lateral movement is gone. You can't get that back. I mean, watching him just try to get up and down the court yesterday was an embarrassment. Well, I called it an embeatisment. But, you know, he is just absolutely
so
done. I don't want to hear he's ramping up. He's never going to get it back, and I think that's why he looked the way he did last night. He knows he's toast. He can't do it anymore.
Yeah, well,
and it's a shame to watch.
It is. I mean, it looks. We all kind of felt this was coming, and Joe, we appreciate the phone call. You know,
Embiid, his minute was horrible, though.
It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't his best. But is he wrong about how he looked?
He workshopped that too, and
well, he's an Embiid realist. I mean, Joe gets it.
I mean, he's still coming back from injury.
Stop.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's wrong in his assessment to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But he's still coming back from injury, and we don't know what he is. But they're not the bottom line is this. They're not taking chances on building stuff around him to try to figure out what he is. It looks like they're moving forward with the young cats. That's
all. I think there's two parts. One, they have no choice because Embiid just is not that player anymore, and we can't ever count on him to be it again, which is we got to move on. And the other part of it is these kids could play. Like, you know, there are some young players that come in the league and they take time, and that's okay. They're 19 or 20. They take time. It doesn't look like Edgecombe is one of those guys. I agree with the way Joe framed the comparison. I mean, I see a lot of different, you know, former players or current players in him. I know this. His athleticism jumped off the screen. He has a bounce to his game that is real. And then the other stuff, you would think that's going to take time. But Hugh, I thought Edgecombe played with a remarkable poise for a 20-year-old. Like, I don't know. Did he take any bad shots last night? Usually 20-year-old players take 5 or 6 shots a night. You're like, oh boy, that was a silly one. That's not what we need here. He didn't do that. His shots were open shots, or he got to the basket, or it was, you know, threes from the corner after someone set him up. I thought he played with a remarkable amount of poise last night. 215-592-9494.
I just need to throw this in before we get too far away from the gambling thing.
What do we got?
According to The Athletic, LeBron James is reportedly the player that Damon Jones used inside info about before the 2023 Bucks-Lakers game. Jones allegedly told others to bet on Milwaukee after learning LeBron would sit out with an ankle soreness before it was on the injury report. This is about to get bad. Crazier and crazier.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, this was...
No, that's what I didn't want to say it because I don't know... I don't know LeBron what LeBron does in his personal life, but you know when they talk about this is bigger than this, that, and the third, a lot of guys like to gamble. So it's one of those things you just kind of wonder. People woke up this morning sweating. They woke up this morning sweating.
So Damon Jones, of course, has been recently an assistant coach for the Cavs. That's what he's being like. He's being part of this as a coach. But Damon Jones played with LeBron. Like they have a relationship from 20 years ago when he was a player. I think Damon Jones was a guard on those early LeBron teams. Like when he was a very young player. But Damon Jones played in the league for a long time. So that's. This is about to get bad.
I mean, the government's involved right now.
I know.
The FBI is involved.
It's a mess.
This is crazy.
This was probably bound to happen in one of these leagues. I mean, we did see it with the baseball, right? Emmanuel Clase, the closer for the Guardians, throwing the pitch in the dirt, and they had the video of that. It's remarkable how these guys think they could get away with this. They cannot. They're gonna all get caught.
Well, like a guy like Terry Rozier can't get away with it because. Or like Jonte Porter.
Because why would... Yeah, right. If they see 1,500 bets on Jonte Porter, the red flags are flying.
A deluge of Jonte Porter bets is one thing. A deluge of LeBron bets, entirely different.
Yeah, it's remarkable how these guys don't realize this. They're going to get caught. 215-592-9494. We're excited about the Sixers again after watching VJ Edgecombe last night. And I expect Hurts to be under center more going forward, starting this Sunday against the Giants. Hugh and Kyle don't. They think they're going to go back to all shotgun all the time. We'll let you hear Jordan Mailata's answer from his show Monday about going under center. That's next. All your phone calls. Ross Tucker, 1230 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Fall is here, so you know what that means, folks. Comfort food and tailgates. Nothing brings heat to your table like Hatfield Recipe Essentials Chorizo. Had some friends calling me yesterday about chorizo, asking me where to get it. I'll tell you that after I get done saying all of this. Picture this. Cheesy chorizo dip bubbling on the table. Or in a pot of hearty chili. As a matter of fact, Rhea made some chili last night. Heard it was good. She didn't bring any in to work today, but we'll wait for that later. But anyway, with Hatfield, you're getting flavor you can trust because they put better care into every step for better pork on your plate. Find recipes at simplyhatfield.com. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.